Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text Number 36. Evam sahasra vadanang rishira karoru. Nasa jakarna nayana barana yudadyam. Maya mayam sadupalakshita sannivesham. Drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virincha. And a translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You were very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. Purport. Lord Brahma, being completely pure, could see the original form of the Lord as Vishnu, having many thousands of faces and forms. This process is called self-realization. Genuine self-realization consists not of perceiving the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, but seeing face to face the transcendental form of the Lord. As distinctly mentioned here, Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Lord as Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna also saw Krishna in the same way. Therefore he told the Lord, Param Brahma Parandam Pavitram Paramambhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. The Lord is Paramapurusha, the supreme form, Purusham Shasvatam. He is everlastingly the supreme enjoyer. It is not that the impersonal Brahman assumes a form. On the contrary, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is an emanation from the supreme form of the Lord. Upon being purified, Brahma could see the supreme form of the Lord. The impersonal Brahman cannot have heads, noses, ears, hands, and legs. This is not possible, for these are attributes of the Lord's form. The word maya mayam means spiritual knowledge. This is explained by Madhavacharya, maya mayam jana sarupam. The word maya mayam describing the Lord's form should not be taken to mean illusion. Rather, the Lord's form is factual, and seeing this form is the result of perfect knowledge. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Gyanavan Mam Prapajyate. The word Gyanavan refers to one who is perfect in knowledge. Such a person can see the personality of Godhead, and therefore he surrenders unto the Lord. The Lord's being symptomized by a face, nose, ears, and so on is eternal. Without such a form, no one can be blissful. The Lord, however, is Sakchid Ananda Vigraha. As stated in the Shastra, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sakchid Ananda Vigraha. When one is in perfect transcendental bliss, he can see the Lord's supreme form, Vigraha. In this regard, Srila Madhavacharya says, Gandhakya Devata Yadvat Priti Vim Vyapya Tishtati Evam Vyaptam Jagad Vishnum Brahmatmashtam Dadarshaha. Lord Brahma saw that the aromas and colors spread throughout the earth The Supreme Personality of Godhead pervades the cosmic manifestation in a subtle form. Hari Bol. So, this verse is continuing on from the verses in the past few days, wherein Prahlad Maharaj is praising Lord Narsingadev, but in this instance he's praising also Lord Brahma, who saw the Supreme Lord after much tapas. It begins by saying that the Lord Brahma was meditating on the lotus, and he didn't know where it was coming from. He didn't know where he was coming from. So what he did is he dived into the water and he was looking around to see could he find anything, and he couldn't, of course. But then he actually, somehow or other, he kind of woke up. He got a realization. And then he started to see the Supreme Lord almost everywhere. It said he could see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. And now, in this verse, Lord Brahma starts to see Krishna everywhere. He sees Lord Vishnu everywhere. He sees his feet, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. He sees them all over. So, from that, it says that, Srila Prabhupada explains in the text, that Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. So, Lord Brahma, from being in a position of not knowing anything and, you know, working his way around in the water, to somehow perceiving the Lord in his own body, and then he saw the Lord face to face. So this verse is very similar to other revelations which we find in the scriptures. In fact, Srila Prabhupada refers it, one of the verses in the purport, to Arjuna's absolute delight when he understood Krishna. It's in the 10th canto, chapter 12. Param Brahma, Param Dham, Pavitram, Paramam, Bhavam, Purusham, Shasvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam, Vipam. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest and the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person. So we can imagine, I'm just reading it here, but you can imagine Arjuna, he's absolutely, you know, in total bliss, just seeing Krishna. And not only just seeing Krishna, it's seeing Krishna just after Krishna said the four incredible verses in the Bhagavad Gita. All verses are incredible in the Bhagavad Gita, but the four very powerful ones. Krishna's just after speaking, aham sarvasya prabhavo, mata sarvam pravartite, iti matva bhajanti mam, buddha bhava samambita. So Krishna says, I'm the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So Krishna is just giving him the real seed verses, the real information, the real knowledge. Of course, he will give even more transcendental knowledge later on when he says to Arjuna that the highest knowledge is to surrender unto him and to render transcendental service. But he's giving him the knowledge, powerful knowledge, of how to understand Krishna and how to perform devotional service. And then there's Matchita, Matprana. I think most of the devotees here will know those four seed verses. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Twam, that's one of the major lines from it. Krishna gives the intelligence by which we can come to him. And then Krishna, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is giving so much here to Arjuna. He's giving him everything. He's just presenting everything to him. And then when Arjuna sees this, he becomes absolutely ecstatic. I remember when I was writing my... before we took initiation, we got certain questions, and Satvarupa Maharaji gave me these questions to answer. And this was one of the most powerful... How do we know that Krishna is God? Was one of the questions. And I consulted some of my godbrothers and some other Prabhupada disciples there, and they pointed me directly to these verses, these four different verses in Bhagavad Gita, and then this verse from Arjuna, that this is the proof, because Arjuna has actually accepted Krishna, and he's accepted him because of all of these Krishna's qualities. So likewise, as Krishna has accepted, so we also accept. So similarly, Lord Brahma, He's also seeing Krishna, and he's becoming ecstatic. He's becoming extremely ecstatic just on seeing this wonderful form of Krishna. And so Prahlad is also, you know, to get back to the present text, he's also in this position. He's just after seeing Lord Nrsingadev appearing. Prahlad is being absolutely given a horrible time by Hiranyakashipu. He's after doing so many horrible things to him. But still, because of what Prahlad Maharaj learned in the womb, he knows that Krishna is there. He has such total, utter, and absolute faith that Krishna is going to come and protect him. And of course, even when he's thrown off mountains, when he's given poison, we know in our situation, when we somehow or other come in contact with the material world, we're fed so much poison. The material world is constantly, constantly trying to discourage us from practicing spiritual life. In fact, that's Maya's business, is to test us, to see are we absolutely ready to hear from Krishna. But just like we see the Mahajans and how they're reacting to this situation. We see Prahlad Maharaj, he's in a very, very difficult situation, but he never flinches. Now, we may flinch a little bit, so, you know, we can understand that we're not Prahlad Maharaj. But still, by hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, by hearing about Lord Brahma, by hearing about Arjuna, we start to get the understanding by which we can actually approach Krishna. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he's praying to Krishna now. He's praying to Lord Nrsingadev. It's said here that Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. All the other demigods that were present were just completely in awe of this incredible form of Krishna who appeared. I was actually, we took the day before yesterday, we went to Juhu, and somehow or other, I was asked by a hospitality firm who was there to speak about Krishna, about this temple, to some members who were visiting from Russia and from the Ukraine and from Austria. They were representing some firm. And there was no one else around at the time to do it, so they came over to me and I said, okay. So what I did was we went to some of the different pictures around that temple, just like there are pictures in this temple. But one of the pictures, of course, was Lord Nrsingadev. So I was there trying to explain about... I very quickly went through it, but I just said he was the supreme protector. When we get into great trouble, we pray to this great protector. And I was explaining about how Hiranyakashipu was a tremendous demon, and Krishna was overcoming this demon. But we see that Prahlad, when he saw this form, he was very, very peaceful. But everyone else was completely, you know, they were completely in awe, and they were afraid to go near. So in the same way, actually, we should also welcome Krishna into our own hearts. And not in an ordinary way, but sometimes the word ordinary is transformed into extraordinary. We should see Krishna as our greatest friend. So in that way, when Krishna appears to us in so many, many, many different forms, he may appear in the Bhagavatam class, he may appear in his wonderful devotees, he may appear in his Archa form, he appears in Lord Damodarastika. So Krishna is always appearing. So we should very humbly, like Prahlad Maharaj, we should very humbly approach Krishna and somehow or other, and pray and beg for the mercy of the devotees so that we can understand Krishna properly and that we approach Krishna properly so that Krishna is pleased with us and so that the devotees are pleased with us. And so then we get some greater understanding of who Krishna actually is. Also, in the purport, there is an incredible point that Prabhupada is making as well. He says that unless we can understand Krishna's actual form, we will not be able to actually understand transcendental bliss. And here in Mumbai in 1976, Srila Prabhupada was asked certain questions about this. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that a lot of the problems in the world today are because people do not understand the actual form of God. So here we have the actual form of God appearing to Prahlad Maharaj, appearing to Lord Brahma, and appearing to Arjuna. So in the like way, we are praying that this supreme form will also appear to us, so that we can be confident and sure in our faith, and so that we can understand real transcendental bliss. But there is another very important point, that if we do not experience this form of God, we are in a very, very difficult position. And Prabhupada maps that position onto the whole world situation. So I'd like to read a little section from Civilization and Transcendence. It is some of the questions that Srila Prabhupada was answering to the Bhavan Journal in June 28, 1976. And I think it was here in Mumbai. Prabhupada says, generally, modern so-called religious leaders have no conception of God. And yet, they are preaching religion. What good is that religion? People are simply being misled. Real religion means God's order. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. If your religion has no conception of God, where is the question of religion? Still, without any conception of God, they are professing some religion. How long will it go on artificially? It will deteriorate. That ignorance about God has resulted in the present condition. Religion means the order of God, just as law means the order of the state. Now, if in your social system there is no state, where is the question of the state's order? You will simply manufacture your own order. Today, that is going on in the field of religion. There is no conception of God, and therefore no following of God's order. But we devotees of Krishna have a clear conception of God. Here is God, Krishna, and he's giving orders. We accept those orders. So it is clear religion. But if there is no conception of God, no order of God, then where is the question of religion? Asks someone in some other religious system what their conception of the form of God is. Can anyone tell clearly? Nobody can say. But we shall immediately say, Venam kanvantam aravinda dalaya taksham parhamatav samat asitam buddha sundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha shovam Govindamadi Purusham Tam Maham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute, whose eyes are like petals of a blooming lotus, whose head is bedecked with a peacock's feather, whose figure of beauty is tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness charms millions of cupids. Brahma Samhita 5:30. Prabhupada continues, immediately description, here is God. Then there is religion. And if there is no conception of God, where is the question of religion? What does Prabhupada say next? Anybody say? He says, bogus. That is why religiosity and the other noble human qualities are declining. People have no conception of God, and therefore there is no understanding of religion. As a result, the whole human civilization is declining. And because it is declining, human beings are becoming more and more like animals. So, therefore, we can see then how important this verse is and how these verses are, so that we can develop an understanding of God, and that actually God appears in our own hearts. says in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So the importance of developing God or Krishna in our own heart is so, so important. Depending on our preaching field, we may have a large preaching field or a small preaching field. All of us have a preaching field. We have to preach to our mind. That's one important place to preach. So the most important preaching to our mind is to hear and chant about Krishna. We hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees. Coming here from Ireland, where there's maybe not so many devotees, but coming into a wonderful sangha like this, I know, speaking for all of the devotees here, we find it absolutely blissful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful, all of these wonderful kirtans and all this interaction with the devotees. And you probably have seen quite a few of us in the restaurant, but I have to say it, even the devotees in the restaurant are so, so nice, you know. It's a very, very, very nice association. So, in fact, all of us here, we're in a very fortunate position to have such wonderful association. But that's not the case with everybody. I saw recently some documentary about people who are living in prison life. Although in some instances we're all in prison life, but in different degrades. In prison life it's very degrading. The association there is absolutely horrible. People are living with killers next to each other. Killers are living next to killers. The whole sangha in there is horrific. And people are there with a horrific sangha probably sometimes for the rest of their life. People are living in around the world in horrible conditions. They have brutal regimes, brutal rulers. They have horrible sangha, absolutely disgraceful. They might be killed by their neighbor for food or something. So we're in a very, 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 very fortunate position. So it's very, very important that another major aspect which we get from Prahlad Maharaj starts to manifest in our heart as well. Srila Prahlad Maharaj did not want to leave the material world until he could save all these fools and rascals. So ourselves, we have a great duty to try to save ourselves, to save our family, and to save also to save everyone that we know. So accordingly, as that compassion grows in our hearts, we should absolutely, utterly, and totally act on it. Whatever opportunity that we get to try to give Krishna consciousness to others, we should immediately take it. And we do it just like as Srila Prabhupada says, that we accept God's order. So we do it on Srila Prabhupada's order, because that's what he has said. He actually orders us. We don't actually even have to think about it. We don't have to wonder, oh, should I preach or should I not preach, or maybe I should do a little bit here or a little bit there. No, we should take it that it is an order. And as Prabhupada says, we accept the form of God and we accept his order. So that's the order of his wonderful representative, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we can see that that's the order that's been undertaken in this temple here. Because this temple of Chaupati is known throughout the world. It's incredible. The energy from this temple is going throughout the whole universe, but it's definitely been felt in so many places, even in that very cold, remote, and rainy, constantly rainy spot of Ireland. And we get great solace and great sustenance from hearing of the activities of the devotees here, and also of associating with the devotees here. Last year, several of the devotees came over to, we were having a sangha for the Pandava Senas in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the devotees came from Chaupati, and I know that there's excellent interrelations among the devotees in the manor and the devotees here. I can tell you for sure that it's having a powerful effect, and please keep it up, because it spreads throughout the whole of the UK, then the whole of Ireland and other places like that. So in this world, Prabhupada has said that in the 60s, he's saying that even, or in the 70s, he's saying that this religion is declining. It is very much declining. I remember in Ireland, in the 60s, Ireland was quite a pious place. It was quite pious. In fact, every family wanted one of the religious members to be a priest or a nun. It was a great success when a family could produce one member to become a religious person. And in fact, from the Christian point of view, a lot of Christianity was spread by Irish people. And they came to India. They were a little misguided, but they came to Africa. They went to Australia. They went to many, many places. But this was the natural piety which was there. It was very, very powerful. In fact, in the previous century, when there was very much a suppression of religion, there was suppression of the Catholic religion, even at that time, the people were very pious. And if you go around Ireland today, you will see in every small town, you will see a huge church, very, very big church. And Prabhupada was very pleased with that. When he came to the West, he said, oh, at least they're a little pious. There's all these religious places. So Prabhupada saw the good in all of that. So even today, you see these amazing churches in every small, little, tiny town in Ireland. There's an incredible church. It's like it's a wonderful building. All the best materials are used. You know, they have an amazing church, and they have another nice building for the priests in the church. So they very much respected religion. They understood that the spiritual life is very important. And like I remember when I was growing up in the late 50s and early 60s, there was a great emphasis on spiritual life. Like all children went to mass, they performed so many pious and spiritual activities. But then around the 70s, there was a slight change. I remember when one of the priests gave up the priestly order, and it was a big shock, it was a big ripple throughout the neighborhood. Somebody has left the priesthood, what's happening, you know? And but gradually, dare I say it, as television became more manifest in the society, gradually, more and more, people started to turn away against religion. Whereas they did not permit any abortion in Ireland, still, there was also for a long while, there was no divorce in Ireland. But gradually, all that eroded. And now there is divorce. And materialism has come into Ireland very, very heavily. And those same people that were there then, there's children and their grandchildren, they're not putting their money into wonderful, beautiful churches like the previous generation did. And let me tell you, the previous generation had very little money. They had very little money. They had barely just enough money just to keep bread on the table. But still, they gave any money, the extra that they had, they gave it to religious purposes. But nowadays, the same marble, the same wonderful wooden carvings that was going into churches previously is now going into hotels, public houses. Everyone knows what pub is? The public house in Ireland. Now, in every village where there used to be a church, now there's two or three public houses. It means it's a place where people go to take alcohol. And every night, the alcohol, instead of the churches being filled, because I even remember during certain months of the year, everyone would go to church every day for a whole month in the year. Nowadays, nobody goes, but instead they go to the pub. They go and they drink alcohol. And now all the wonderful buildings, they're all for commerce, they're all for public houses, and the same wonderful marble. They're actually putting marble into these places. Because I remember I was trying to buy some wood for our temple in Govindadri, because we have a little rail there, and I was trying to get the most expensive wood, but it was too expensive, I couldn't afford it. We had to get some wood, but thankfully it was wood that we had grown in our own place. We have small little forest there as well, so we used the wood from that. We got it carved, and that's in the temple now at the moment, so it's, you know, self-sufficiency somewhat as well. But I went to see the price on this wood. It is so expensive. The price in marble, we were just able to get enough marble for our altar. Very nicely done. But a great devotee of ours who was in Ireland, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he would always say, where your money is, that's where your heart is. So the devotees, they try to use the money for Krishna service, but the materialists, they're using all this money in the pub. So Prabhupada says that it's declining, and he even says, he even lays the blame a little bit at not being able to understand who the form of God is. And so this is, it's very important for us today to try to understand this philosophy. And as soon as when we understand it, to give this philosophy to others. I personally think that the devotees here in this temple and in India as well have great responsibility, even on a global scale. I think what you're doing here is important. It's spreading out very much on a global scale, because I think we know some of the temples in the West, although they're doing admirably well, there is still a little bit of a decline. A decline in new devotees being made. And from that perspective, I see that here it's very strong. There's so many devotees being made, and these devotees, by their honestly and seriously taking to Krishna consciousness, they will have a very, very strong and potent effect on the world, and not just in this situation here. Okay, I'd like to thank Krishnanand Prabhu and of course His Holiness, that great devotee, Radhanath Swami, who's been an inspiration to us all. And that's the reason why so many of us have come over here today, or this week. We've dropped all our business concerns. I know in this recent downturn in the economy, my own business has gone down. But still, I take it as still a wonderful opportunity just to forget all of that and to come over here and to try to nourish my heart with all this your wonderful association and in the association in these wonderful yatras. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I was wondering, does anyone have any comments or any questions? Anyone would like to add something? Rajendra Prabhu, would you like to say something? Anybody? Okay. One question.
Hariksh, thank you very much, Prabhu, for your class. You were mentioning in your class about materialistic approach, materialism entering into Ireland, and you were mentioning that since the television came in, it started. Do you say that it is that the main cause, or is there something else?
Well, I think that the television had, you know, a tremendous effect, because it took its position in the center of every house and became, we often hear the phrase, the one-eyed guru. So previously people would kind of gather around together and talk when families would come together. But that actually gradually stopped, because people came together and watched the television. And then whatever was promoted on the television gradually worked the way into people's hearts. And I know I was a victim of it, because I was a young person as well, and it was considered advanced if you were able to get the programs from England. For many years in Ireland, they were trying to kick off the influence of England, because England was in control of Ireland and was somewhat exploitive of Ireland. So for many years, Irish people tried to get rid of, we had so many uprisings and so many times there was war and war of independence and everything. And Srila Prabhupada would often refer to the fighting Irish, because he probably, when he was in India here, he always heard of some uprising in Ireland. Ireland was trying to get rid of the rule, foreign rule. But then, after they got their independence, they started to get all these programs over from England. And they became absolutely addicted to watching one famous program is called Coronation Street, which is a very, you could call it a low-class program, because it's about, I'm not, you know, judging people, but it's you would have to say that it's very Sudra-like. So many people in Ireland, they're addicted. It's on 3 times a week, and every time they come and they watch this program in their house, and they open up their hearts to it, and they open up their hearts to all the characters in those programs. So in that sense, it had a huge effect. And then when it wasn't England, then it became America. America, that was even higher again, you know. And then it becomes Australia, and then some other culture and whatever. So it is a tremendous propaganda machine. Jai Shishi Gauri Tai Ki Jai Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So, but also, it gives fuel to the desires, you know, all the material desires, to enjoy the senses, to think that here is the only place that we can enjoy, that the, you know, we enjoy the, we enjoy opulence. Ireland has become a little bit more opulent, so now all this opulence is suffusing the mentality and the mind. And so they're all very, very, absorbed. Their hearts are filled with desire for opulence. You know, Bhogeshwara Pashaktanam Tayaparita Chetasam. So it is the vehicle, basically, for which people feel they can, you know, that material desires and fulfillment of material desires has become apparent to people. And so they've taken it in. But it's the spreading of this culture. That's really what it is. The culture of the demoniac culture. It's just a great tool. It can be used, you know, ISKCON television. It can be used in Krishna service as well. But we have a long way to go to get reins of the actual, you know, the media, so to be able to give out Krishna conscious messages. But still, as it is what they are taking. We should use any opportunity that we can to use any media that we can, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hari Bol. All right.